It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Liz McCormick. With concerns about looting, a curfew has been enforced in some communities affected by the floods.
So our house is sitting there all day. Of course it is locked, but you know, locked doors don't keep people out.
We'll look at this story and where we are now 1 week since the devastating flooding coming up on West Virginia Morning. It's been 1 week since major storms rolled into southeastern West Virginia, leaving historic flooding in its wake. Federal officials have approved two more West Virginia counties for individual aid after those floods killed 23 people and destroyed thousands of homes. Jesse Wright reports.
Governor Earl Ray Tomlin said the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, expanded the federal declaration on Wednesday to include Pocahontas and Webster counties. Those two counties joined Kanawha, Greenbrier, Nicholas, Fayette, Clay, Roan, Summers, and Monroe on the declaration. People affected by floods in those counties can apply for individual aid, which covers emergency medical support, housing, and other immediate needs. The governor also lifted a state of emergency for 32 counties. Those still in a state of emergency are Kanawha, Greenbrier, Nicholas, Fayette, Clay, Roan, Summers, Webster, Pocahontas, Monroe, Lincoln, and Jackson. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright.
Thousands of homeowners in the affected areas are working to clean up mud, debris, and even some flood water from their homes. And because of that work, state health officials say it's more important than ever for those folks to take precautions against disease, particularly tetanus. Some areas of the state, however, have seen a shortage of tetanus shots. Kara Lofton reports on the efforts to get people the vaccinations they need.
So the very best way to protect yourself against the tetanus bacteria is by using gloves, wearing rubber boots, and properly cleaning any cuts. The bacteria enters the system through contact with the skin.
So for contact, it really depends if they have any open wounds or abrasions. And oftentimes what would happen is you may not always be aware that you, while you're cleaning, that you may have some skin breaks and may have some abrasions that may happen and may not immediately feel those. So there can be contact with skin, but especially if it is not intact, and no matter how microscopic those are, bacteria can seep in.
That's Commissioner Public Health Rao Gupta. He is one of the state's public health officials advocating for those exposed to the floodwaters to get vaccinated. These days, almost everyone is vaccinated for tetanus as children. It is one of those vaccines required to enroll in school. But adults need a booster every 10 years to retain their immunity. However, boosters do take a couple of weeks before they build full immunity.
And so there is a delay with when vaccines take effect. And if people are exposed now, why is it important that they get the booster?
Well, tetanus has an incubation period of about 3 to 21 days.
That's Dr. Tamara Stahl, a family practice doctor in Greenbrier County.
So the sooner after exposure they're inoculated, if they've not particularly had it before, the better prevention will be.
Dr. Stahl's office has given more than 1,000 doses of tetanus so far. They ran out of vaccines Monday afternoon. By Monday evening, more than 100 people were on a waiting list. They received 250 donated doses Tuesday and another 250 Wednesday. The Department of Health and Human Resources ordered several thousand new doses Monday to address the need for the vaccine across the state. But in the meantime, hospitals and clinics in surrounding areas donated some of their own. Some of that vaccine was supposed to arrive in Clendenin on Tuesday.
So we had a shipment of about 1,000 that was promised.
That's Angie Settle, Executive Director of Health Right in Charleston. She said the vaccines got held up in Memphis. She's not sure why.
So I knew these people were out here waiting, and so we did what we do best at free clinics. We get our boots on the ground, we call people, we tell them what the situation is. We have a good name in the community, so people know our heart's in the right place and they reach out for us.
The crowd waiting for the vaccine filled two tents in Clendenin. A doctor staffing the makeshift hospital said they were expecting Settle to bring 50 doses, not nearly enough to cover those waiting. When Settle arrived a little after 3 p.m., she had five times that many from Charleston donors.
Now, you know, we've promised to replace that when our shipment comes in. But, you know, that's what we do. When you need something to get done, you get down and you do it.
Okay, so you know you need the shot if you've been working in the floodwater. But what is tetanus exactly? Tetanus is a bacterial infection that affects the nervous system. It's also known as lockjaw because it can cause your neck and jaw to lock, making it hard to open your mouth or swallow. For the past 70 years, tetanus has been steadily declining in the U.S. due to the introduction of vaccines. But it's still possible to get it through exposure to the bacteria in soil or contaminated water. Floodwater and residual mud, like West Virginia experienced this past week, are prime breeding grounds for the bacteria because
there's a mixture of flood water and sewage that happens.
That's Commissioner of Public Health Rao Gupta again.
So the challenge with especially the sewage is the bacteria that can remain alive, and those bacteria can not only remain alive, but actually can grow.
Pretty gross, right? So if you were the victim of the floods or a first responder or even a reporter who has been mucking around in a cocktail of floodwater, feces, and unknown chemicals, you might be at risk and should find a place to get vaccinated. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
If you live in an area affected by flooding, you can visit our website, wvpublic.org, for more information on where to get vaccines. Aside from the concerns over the health of people working to clean up their homes, concerns about theft and looting are spreading in communities hit hard by the storm. Homes are being left open to dry, and many residents are staying in shelters or with friends and family. The level of concern varies from town to town, and some communities are implementing curfews to stave off the possibility of suspicious activity. Dave Mistich traveled around Greenbrier County this week and brings us this report.
Last Thursday night, as a massive storm ravaged many areas of the state, pharmacist Aaron Gwynn sat at home, thinking to himself about the possibility of someone breaking into his business. The Greenbrier Medical Arts Pharmacy, which sits just a few miles northeast of downtown Lewisburg. Sometime over the course of that night, with all the rain coming down and floodwaters starting to rise in neighboring communities, Gwynn says someone actually was trying to break in.
In the wake of the, all that was taking place, somebody thought that would be a good opportunity with the police diverted elsewhere. They could break into the pharmacy with minimal effort and wouldn't encounter any resistance.
When Gwynn arrived at the pharmacy the next morning, a window was broken, but nothing had been stolen. Others in the surrounding areas didn't have the same luck. Longtime resident of White Sulphur Springs, Sadie Fraley, says a friend of hers had a stove stolen out of her home over the weekend. Fraley remembers seeing a lot of unfamiliar faces around town.
It kind of scared me because I was ready to approach him before I called the police and say, hey, if you don't have business here, you need to move on. I'm glad I didn't. It was about 12 of them. And I've never seen them here. Like I said, I grew up in this town. I own a restaurant in town. I know a lot of people.
Reports of breaking and entering, theft and looting have led local officials affected by the flood to impose curfews in some communities, including White Sulphur Springs and Alderson. City officials there say they've implemented those curfews by way of a city ordinance. However, officials in both municipalities have failed to provide those ordinances when requested. Judy Hoover has been volunteering her time at the Alderson Community Center, which is now functioning as a shelter and donation center. She says her home was not affected by the flooding, but she's glad there's a curfew in her hometown.
So our house is sitting there all day. Of course, it is locked, but locked doors don't keep people out. I do know that some other people have been concerned. I don't think we've had any in Alderson this year, which I'm very proud of. It seems that everybody has stuck together, but it's still a concern.
I rode along with Patrolman Mac Breckenridge of the Alderson Police Department Monday night as he enforced the 11 o'clock curfew in the town that split between Greenbrier and Monroe counties. Breckenridge, like many other city officials in Alderson, say the curfew is out of an abundance of caution and most everyone is cooperating. Mostly, it's just a warning. He'll pull up to teenagers walking around or vehicles on the streets and simply tell them to go home.
So for the most part, a lot of innocent things going on, nothing too terribly dramatic.
Nothing too dramatic. I mean, two girls that were walking down the sidewalk, they were
high school kids
heading home. Foot transportation, it's hard to get anywhere on time.
But around 11:30 Monday night, Breckenridge wrote his first two citations for residents violating the curfew after stopping a car driving the wrong way down a one-way street.
Yeah, he doesn't have proof of insurance for the vehicle.
Are you citing him for the
plus?
Curfew?
I'm gonna cite him for the. I'm gonna cite I'm going to cite them both for the curfew.
Just because he was well aware of the curfew and she was well aware of it, too.
Down Route 60 in Fayette County, Sheriff Steve Kessler confirms his department has made one arrest for theft-related crimes following last week's flood. He says they've received other complaints from county residents and is quick to ask those out and about to heed the warning.
You know, we were just told that there was people coming into the area, like I said, on four-wheelers and, you know, four-wheel drive vehicles just cruising through. So we just decided we pretty much know who lives in those areas. We'll just stop them, check them. You don't live there. You don't belong there.
In other areas affected by flooding, there's no official count of how many complaints or reports have been filed with law enforcement. Resources are stretched so thin that, in many cases, paperwork has yet to be filed with city or county clerk's offices. Pharmacist Aaron Gwynn in Lewisburg says that's the case with the incident at his store. He feels the attempted break-in was an isolated incident and says many similar ones in the area were likely a matter of survival and not maliciousness. He recounts an incident reported at his church as the storm hit the area.
In Hart's Run, somebody had broke into the church. However, they were just obviously seeking refuge. They used some tablecloths to cover up with and slept through the night, helped themselves to some coffee and that sort of thing, and left $20 in the offering plate and did not destroy anything, took good care of the place, and you know, we were glad. We know police reports were filed because we were glad that they were able to find a dry place to sleep for the night.
Gwen, like many others in areas affected by the storm, feels the goodness of the community far outweighs reports of theft or hostility. However, city officials in White Sulphur Springs say a curfew remains in place indefinitely, at least until a large number of residents are able to return to their homes and recovery efforts aren't occupying so much of law enforcement's time. Alderson city officials say Wednesday night marked the final night of their curfew. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Greenbrier County.
West Virginia has a history of being a flood-prone state. But in the wake of the recent flooding that's left 10 counties named federal disaster areas, some are wondering about the role dams in the region played in managing the extreme weather events. Clark Davis went to find out.
As storms rolled across West Virginia last Thursday, unloading water in areas throughout the state, many of the state's dams were functioning at high capacity. Aaron Smith is a senior project manager with the Huntington District of the Army Corps of Engineers. He says dams like the Bluestone located in Summers County just upstream from Hinton did their job.
A lot of people in Charleston don't realize that they live downstream of one of the largest dams in the state, Bluestone, which could send waters down a stream that could put Charleston under 10 to 15 feet of water. Now, that's an extreme event. I don't mean to scare people, but it's an important fact that you need to realize. Every community in America has risks. It's just good to know what your risks of your community are and you're prepared to deal with them.
The Huntington District of the Corps controls all 7 dams that exist in the state of West Virginia. The ones most affected by the weather event last Thursday were the Sutton Dam located on the Elk, Summersville Dam located on the Gauley, and Bluestone Dam located on the New River. Jim Schray is the senior water management specialist at the Huntington District of the Corps. Schray says on Thursday of last week, things kicked into high gear mid-afternoon.
But as we're watching those dams, watching the gauges downstream, we're starting to see very significant rises and we're seeing significant rainfall. So very early in the afternoon, we're basically slamming shut those gates to cut off that water and store it to reduce the floods downstream. So it was very busy. Traditionally, on a normal day, I'm running one computer model. On Thursday, I ran about 6.
Schray says some of the heaviest of the rain fell outside the dam's control, below Summersville, below Bluestone, and below Sutton. He says they were able to catch most of the rain that fell above the dams. When they see these storms starting to take shape in the models, they always close the dams.
Right, so basically we impound that water in our dam. If you look at Summersville specifically, the elevation in our storage that resulted from this event is the second highest in its history. We stored almost 42 feet of water in the project, and we will store that water until the downstream stages drop below damage levels.
He says they started to see those lower normal levels on Saturday, which led to the release of water at Summersville and Sutton. The controlled release allows the dam to slowly get back to normal levels so the Corps can be ready in case of another weather event. Schray says when storms exceed the ability of the dam to retain floodwaters, it's called a spillway event. In those instances, a dam may have to spill a significant amount of water downstream, and that can cause flooding too. Shrey says the state-run Summit Lake Dam above Richwood experienced a spillway event last week. Senior project manager Aaron Smith.
You know, an important understanding of dams is that they do not stop water. They slow water down, and they do everything they can to reduce the effects of flooding. Unfortunately, I think this event was a reminder to the new Kanawha, Greenbrier, Gauley River valleys that they live in a flood hazard zone.
According to Smith and Shrey, the idea of a dam on the Greenbrier River is one that's floated around in the past, but there's never been enough support to make it a reality. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis.
The devastating flood last week displaced not only people, but also many pets. Lots of folks are having a hard time finding a place for their furry friends to stay as they look for a new home. Some animal shelters in the state are stepping up to do what they can to help, like the Kanawha County Humane Association. Dozens of volunteers stood outside the Kanawha County Humane Association Tuesday in the hot sun, loading up heavy bags of dog and cat food onto trucks.
Today we're accepting dog food or actually any donations animal related.
That's Joshua Felty. He's the director of operations at the Kanawha County Humane Association.
We're using some of it at the shelter here, and we're also loading up trucks and sending food up to Clendenin, Elkview, all over the place, just wherever they need help up there.
Literally thousands of pounds of pet food were donated Tuesday alone. But Felty says that's not the only way his organization is trying to help.
We're offering free boarding as well. So it's not just impoundment. Once those animals come in, we vaccinate and we're doing all that for free. We've had several animals come in that have already went home. They're still coming in though.
At the time of this interview, Felty said his facility was holding about 20 dogs for flood victims.
Some people are going to shelters and they can't take their animals with them, so we will hold them as long as we need to. And again, that's going to be free of charge. You know, it's the least we could do.
According to a news release from the West Virginia Division of Agriculture, two other shelters are also boarding pets for free, Greenbrier County and Fayette County Humane Associations. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Liz McCormick.